Welcome to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. On this show, we feature different programs, individuals, and initiatives focused on being more inclusive of individual needs. We invite you to learn right alongside us. If you want some additional resources or access to our courses, please visit our website or follow us on social media. But for right now, let's get right to the episode. For our educator friends out there, it's no secret that the science of reading is a frequent topic of conversation within the fields of literacy and reading instruction. This comprehensive body of research focuses on what works in literacy instruction and how students can learn to read. Today, we're going to be talking to Kelly Steinke, an educator and president of Read Learning and Silver Moon Spelling. Kelly's work focuses on providing multisensory teaching methods to improve spelling and reading skills for students, including students with dyslexia. In this episode, Kelly discusses her inspiration for creating Read Learning and Silver Moon Spelling, explains her curriculum for research-based literacy instruction, and shares her advice for families and teachers trying to support their dyslexic students. Let's dive right in to hear from Kelly. Welcome back to the Assembly Inclusion Podcast. Today, we are talking to Kelly Steinke. She is the president of Read Learning and Silver Moon Spelling. So Kelly, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Katie. I'm excited to be here.
So just to start off, I want to introduce you to our listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
I would love to, Katie. My name is Kelly Steinke, as Katie just shared with us. I started my path into the field of literacy really through the special education route. So I taught as a special ed teacher for just shy of 20 years and, you know, taught Midwest, East Coast, Massachusetts area and Pacific Northwest area as well. And then ended up back in the Midwest here where I decided to leave the field of special ed after actually getting my licensure as a director of special ed. I kind of jumped ship and opened my own reading center. And that reading center is Read Learning Educational Services. We do have a physical location. We are located in Appleton, Wisconsin. READ is an acronym. It stands for Redefining Education and Dyslexia. And at the same time, I started writing and creating. That was the first year in 2015 when I published our first set of curriculum, which is Silver Moon Spelling Rules, Set 1. In between there, I've filled various roles. I actually currently still teach at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh in the special ed department and am a former board of directors member with the Wisconsin branch of the International Dyslexia Association and former president of that branch and had other various roles as well in the literacy field. There's a little bit of a background so you kind of get a sense of where I'm coming from.
And I appreciate your background because we have some similarities between both of our backgrounds. Our listeners know, because I say it all the time, I taught special ed for the first part of my career, and I taught in the reading intervention setting. So we have a lot in common. But just to dive in, I want to talk a little bit about your companies that you started. So I wanted to talk about Read Learning Services and Silver Moon Spelling. What was the inspiration behind starting your organization and your intervention curriculum specifically?
That's a big question. A lot goes into that when you leave the career path you plan on having, you know, really for the rest of your life. Really, it was my students and my own children, quite honestly. I have two daughters. They are twins, and they're both diagnosed with dyslexia. We've got some dysgraphia in there, dyscalculia, some ADHD, you know, kind of a full mix of learning differences. And so right about the time my own children were going into kindergarten, I started learning about dyslexia. And the more I learned, the more I realized, this is getting kind of personal because this really sounds a lot like my own children. And maybe, just maybe, this is why we're having so many issues even at the kindergarten level already. You know, we started having learning challenges even at 4K. And so from there, I started learning, started listening to podcasts, started taking trainings, getting certifications, and you know, really wasn't provided any of this type of training or type of information in my undergrad degree or my graduate level degree or, you know, during the national board process. So it was like opening the door to a whole new world. And it was fascinating and wonderful. And learning Orton-Gillingham-based strategies really turned the light bulb on for a lot of my students at school, as well as, you know, my own kids, was absolutely life-changing. So I decided this is exactly what I want to do. I want to change lives. Take students who think they aren't able to read, they can't learn, they're not smart, they feel like they're just not accomplishing what their peers are able to do. There's nothing wrong with their intelligence, and really flip the script for them, essentially. That is what we do. We work with students at our reading center. We have online services as well as in-person services. And we take kids that are oftentimes several years below grade level, sometimes 5 and 6 years below grade level. And within time-based intervention, they do make really amazing gains. And it's just so exciting to see, because it does change their entire trajectory of their life.
And it is so impactful. I was trained at Orton-Gillingham too when I was doing my reading intervention. I taught middle school, so I had them 6th, 7th, and 8th grade through the intervention. And like you said, to see those gains, it's amazing. The light bulb does go off for them too. Like, oh, I can do this. I just didn't have the training that I needed to be able to, and now I can. So it's really amazing to see the kind of progress that a student can make with these types of interventions.
I will add to that, Katie, too. That's kind of my inspiration for starting the Reading Center. But the inspiration for starting the curriculum was really, I wanted to get tools in teachers' hands. You know, I wanted other teachers to be able to experience kind of unlocking that door for their own students. Because in my comings and goings, teaching on 3 different parts of the country in several different schools, over a dozen different schools throughout the years, I didn't see really many teachers at all who had background in systematic and explicit spelling and reading instruction. It just isn't what's traditionally used. And I thought, how can we get this information in a teacher's hands so we can start changing lives in the public school system, in the private school system, without teachers needing their district to sponsor a massive PD? And so Silver Moon is, you use it out of the box. I mean, it's scripted, it has all the background you need, and it is a supplemental spelling program. And that is something that usually isn't controlled by school systems. You know, so usually teachers can use really whatever they want for spelling. And through teaching spelling this way, in an explicit and systematic approach, you're also going to be teaching reading. You really can't get away from that decoding piece when you're teaching the types of syllables and the syllabication process. And it's just the coolest thing to see this transformation, and students start to say, why wasn't I taught this sooner? This just makes so much more sense. So that's the story behind the curriculum.
I appreciate the fact that your spelling material specifically, it's so easy for teachers to implement, because that was the struggle I think we always faced was, my district did pay for me to get OG certified, but a lot of teachers didn't want to go through the full week training and plus the full year requirement of being certified. It was very expensive and time consuming. And so I appreciate the fact that you're creating these materials to give to teachers so they can implement them right away and start using them with their students. That's always appreciated, obviously, for teachers to be able to pick up and use something to actually help their students right away. I do want to talk about the science of reading specifically, because you had mentioned that. Could you explain this body of research for our listeners who may be unfamiliar with it or might need just a quick refresher on what it is and what it means?
The science of reading is a relatively new term. It was coined, I'm going to guess, maybe 5, 6 years ago. And it's not a specific program. The science of reading refers to a body of research. This research has kind of converged from all different fields, education, cognitive psychology, neuroscience. A lot of the sciences have studied how we as humans acquire reading and writing skills and spelling skills. And the science of reading really points towards what is best practice in terms of teaching reading in the classroom and what's really necessary to be included in that instruction. And that's a really brief nutshell of a definition, but that is what the science of reading is. It really is, you know, a body of research that informs our instructional practices.
Perfect. And that's something, I think it has been a more recently coined term. I don't even remember hearing it. I graduated from my undergraduate program in 2015, and I don't think they even covered it or addressed it, at least not by name in that way. So specifically your intervention program and the research behind multisensory reading in general is merging together spelling patterns using mnemonics, multisensory techniques. I think model-led approaches were also used. Can you elaborate on these techniques and how they can improve learning for students?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because it's so important, especially when we're working with struggling learners. It's so important to know what to teach, but we also need to know how to teach it, right? So the strategies and the teaching methods we use are really of utmost importance. And you touched on just now in your question, the model lead test approach, or the I do, we do, you do approach is another way to put it. And that is really essential for our struggling readers and spellers and just learners in general. And that is a research-based, I guess I would call it a teaching method. We use this approach in Silver Moons. Each of our lesson plans are formatted in the same manner. They're very consistent. So students and teachers always know what to expect at step one and step two and step three and so on and so forth. But what we always start with is modeling. So when we introduce a new concept, we're always modeling that concept, showing the student exactly how it works, explicitly giving them the information that they need. So nothing is implied. It's not assumed that a student's going to learn what they need to learn. So that is the model part of the model lead test. In the lead portion, we're practicing with the students. So we're guiding them through word examples and non-word examples, etc. And in the test approach or the you do part of the lesson plan, the student gets to practice on their own. And at that point, they better be pretty confident with what you've taught them because you want them to be really successful. It's very explicit instruction, very systematic instruction. But some of the other learning tools that we have within Silver Moon are, for instance, the mnemonics, which are embedded within our Silver Moon spelling rules flashcards. Our flashcards are really, I guess I would liken them to direct instruction style flashcards. So what we've done is taken English language spelling rules, and we've given them a name and a face. And the name for these rules is a mnemonic for the spelling pattern we're trying to get students to learn. So I'll give you an example of that. There is a spelling rule that teaches us that if a word has one vowel and it ends with an F, L, S, or Z, you double that final letter. And that rule we've called Sam loves fried zucchini. Okay, so Sam is the S, loves is the L, fried is the F, and zucchini is the Z. And gosh, you know, this is where I wish the podcast was more of a vlog where you could see the image we've illustrated to portray this, because we've got this zebra frying up a pan of zucchini. And, you know, the zebra, of course, is Sam, and the zucchini all has the double letters that you double on top of the zucchini slices. And in the steam rising up from the pan, we've got a single vowel rising up, and that's more hidden. You know, students have to look for that clue. And in fact, that leads into the fact that we do have hidden clues in all of our spelling rule cards. So not only are the rule names mnemonic based, but we also try to pull students in and really engage them in these pictures and images by having them look for hidden clues within these images.
Oh, I love that. I could totally have seen my students enjoying the finding the hidden message within the image. That would have been great for my middle schoolers who needed those rules just as much as their elementary school counterparts. But I could see that engaging them a little bit more too. And then just having the visual in general is also so beneficial. I think it just makes it so much easier for the students to pick up and actually remember, apply, and then use too.
It's supposed to serve as a memory trigger. You know, that mnemonic device. Some people will kind of challenge this and they'll say, well, we know that we don't spell by memory. We don't learn to spell by memory anymore. That has been completely debunked. That is not how we spell. So aren't you doing the same thing by having students memorize these spelling rules? Well, no, really what's going on here is we hope for the student to be able to recall the concept through the image, through the mnemonic, and then through application of the rule. And they will remember the rules, maybe not verbatim, but they'll remember them for so long. And then after a while, the skills generalize. And as they learn more and more complex concepts, their earlier ones, they might not remember the name of that specific rule anymore, but guess what? They can apply the concept still. So that's where the beauty comes in, that your real focus is trying to get students to understand how we spell, not what to spell, but how we spell, and then also to generalize those skills over to their writing. And it will strengthen reading, because spelling instruction that's explicit and systematic really is a teacher's secret weapon. I mean, it really is. If you have low reading scores in your classroom or in your school, you get an explicit and systematic spelling program in place that teaches the types of syllables and how to divide words into syllables, and, you know, teaches the decoding of the real words and the nonsense words. And there is no way around not improving reading instruction, or reading scores, I should say.
Oh yeah, definitely. I remember teaching the breaking down of syllables to my students. And then by the time I got to eighth grade, the syllables became almost like a prefix base word suffix model. So eventually they're figuring out like the meaning of complicated vocabulary words, in addition to decoding it and spelling it, because they're recognizing the syllable breaks and this part of the word means this, this means this, this might be what the word means overall. And they ended up having, especially in science and history, better achievement with their vocab in those classes, because they had that model to break down the word that their classmates were lacking because they weren't in that, you know, type of environment. But I could see how that type of explicit instruction benefits students in the long run, especially within reading and writing as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there too. And the spelling rules, I mean, it's one layer of the cake, right? I always say, like, okay, spelling has a lot of layers. All right. One of the layers is spelling rules, and it's foundational. It's where I like to start when I'm working with kids. You know, you teach them the most common letter sound correspondences. You make sure they've got their auditory discrimination and memory in place for, you know, up to three sequences of sounds. You layer in your spelling rules, and then you start to plug in some of your morphological and etymology components as you go.
It's a perfect way to build up, to give them that foundation. And then as they start to master it, then they can move on to the other levels of the spelling. I appreciate that description of how the process works. So I always like to ask for things related to education. How does your program and your materials, you had said they could be immediately used, how typically would you incorporate them into a classroom setting? What have been some of the ways you've observed or heard about teachers integrating your Silver Moon spelling rules into the classroom with their students, whether it's a large class environment, a smaller class environment? What have you noticed?
It just really depends on how it's being used. So I have teams of first grade classrooms using Silver Moon Universal. And if you're going to go universal, neurotypical, you know, typically developing student, you can start as young as first grade. I do recommend using some of those prerequisite screeners, though, just to make sure your students have what it takes to be successful when they begin. And that would be as simple as just making sure every student has their own deck of spelling rule cards. And then the teacher would need their instructional manual, and you know, they've run with it from there. Each lesson is very well laid out. And we do have a digital platform now, which is very exciting. So teachers can make a free digital membership at silvermoonteacher.com. So if you go to silvermoonteacher.com and you're using this whole group, you can log in and download all of the word tables that go with each lesson, all of the practice pages, etc. So that's what it might look like whole group. If you're using Silver Moon with a small group, you know, some classrooms are using it in the special education department. Some are using it simply for RTI, like a tier two intervention. I have a pilot going right now in one of our larger school districts in Wisconsin. And in the pilot, they're using Silver Moon for differentiated tier one instruction. So they have kind of their target group of students who are struggling spellers, struggling readers. They're pulled from the general education classroom, and they have a group of tutors or teachers using the program with those students.
I'll make sure to link the website directly in the show notes for anybody listening, so that way you can go right to the website to access and sign up for those digital resources. I did want to jump into the digital platform, actually. Other than what you had shared about accessing the resources through the digital platform, how do you think this platform will enhance and support the spelling intervention materials and the use of them in the classroom?
Well, you know, the goal of the digital platform was really to ease the use of the program, to make life easier for teachers. Actually, it's only been out for about a month. So we were in about the first month of the digital platform being released. And we do have a really nice number of registrants who are using the platform. And, you know, from right here, it's looking like they're mostly using the platform to get those lesson downloads to support their instruction in the classroom. And that's just a really handy tool to have. However, there's also a professional teachers forum. Now, I want to tell you, this is a brand new platform, 1 month old. So that forum, if you log in, please say hello. Please put out some questions, start generating some conversation, because the goal is to create a community with Silver Moon instructors. People who use Silver Moon, they love it. I get calls all the time. I just love your program. I love this concept. I love that it's flexible. I love that it's supplemental and I can just kind of plug it into my classroom instruction. We need to start getting conversations going in that forum, and it would be so exciting to start growing that. The other part of the digital platform is a paid version of that platform. So for a small fee of $4.99 a month, we do have a video tutorial series. So teachers will receive weekly or twice weekly emails, and those emails will take you through how to use the program from before you start all the way through. And much of those emails are supported with video tutorial and how-tos. Now, some teachers we find, just if this isn't in their wheelhouse, this type of instruction, and it's just really foreign to them, this type of teaching. And, you know, sometimes that is the case. We found that some just need a little bit more help in forms of video.
And that's great that you have that option, because, I mean, I've moved into the teacher trainer sphere of things. So I've seen firsthand, like, there's a lot of teachers who, if they're not comfortable with it, they want that extra support. It's hard to get the time to get out of the classroom to receive a formal training. So I appreciate that your membership includes the video training components. I think that's something a lot of teachers will probably benefit from. And I love the community forum aspect of it. That's something I was always looking for when I was doing multisensory reading. I was the only one doing it for a long time in my building, and you know, trying to manage it was so stressful. So I would have appreciated a forum like that to be able to reach out and ask questions and connect with people around the world who are doing the exact same thing as me.
Katie, my biggest weakness, I am the president of both companies, and we are a very small company. However, we do service schools throughout the United States, into Canada and Australia. And so, you know, Silver Moon is gaining in popularity. However, my biggest weakness is really creating that visibility. So if you're listening to this podcast, find us on Facebook, find us online, and give us a shout out, share with your friends. We're not into take over, you know, any other curriculum or replace other curriculums. Really, it's a supplemental tool, and it will really just serve to enhance what you're already using in the classroom.
And I know I said the website will be in the show notes. I will also link all of the socials as well, so that people can just go right from their phone. So make sure you check it out, everybody listening. So with your expertise and experience with, you know, diagnostic and educational consultations, and also your experience as an educator for a number of years, what advice would you give to families who are trying to navigate the complexities of identifying and addressing learning disabilities and dyslexia for their children? That's a question I get a lot from people. Parents are hearing, you know, my child is dyslexic, or they have a learning disability. What do I do about it? Pretty much. So what advice would you give to them?
First, I would ask them what state they live in, right? Because if this podcast is being heard nationwide, you know, state legislation is different, and schools function a little bit differently in the field of literacy and dyslexia, depending on where you live. My company, and I live currently in Wisconsin. And it's funny you ask this, because I just had a call yesterday from actually one of our county social workers. And she says she's working with a family. She found my business online, and she just needs some information to help this family figure out what's going on with their child's reading skills. And the school says, well, go to your pediatrician, ask your pediatrician about dyslexia. The pediatrician says, oh, go to your school, ask your school about dyslexia. Can they do a screening? And you kind of get this back and forth kind of volley of this ball, and it never quite lands in a spot that helps. So she said, this family's caught between this back and forth. What do you recommend they do? It depends where you live. If you live in Wisconsin, there is no legislation that mandates screening for or testing for dyslexia in the school system. Now, our schools will test for an SLD in reading or writing, you know, specific learning disability in reading or writing. However, that probably in most cases is not going to be specifically called dyslexia, because our teachers by and large really aren't trained to identify dyslexia yet. And hopefully they are, you know, in the near future. So I always advocate that parents take matters into their own hands. Oftentimes parents think, well, okay, if I can only get my child into special ed, then there's our solution. They'll learn how to read, they'll learn how to write and spell, and everything will be fine. Well, that's not always the case, because if you qualify for special education, then what type of intervention and what type of programming are they using in that special education classroom? Because if they're using something that isn't research-based, it's not going to help. So, you know, go through your insurance, medical insurance, find out if a private psychological evaluation is covered, and get one scheduled and figure out what the problem is. I always tell families and teachers, this is a three-legged stool we're dealing with here. A, we've got to identify what the problem is. B, we've got to find and locate appropriate intervention based on the science of reading and what that tells us about how students learn to read and write and spell. And then C, we need to support that student with accommodations. So if you can get those three pieces lined up, you're going to have a really solid plan in place.
I think that's really good advice, because I experienced that even as an educator. I mean, I haven't gone through it as a parent, but just they are classified with an SLD and then they end up in resource room with me teaching language arts, and they need that more multisensory intervention. So then I have to fight to get them into that intervention, and should have been there to begin with. And then we're halfway through the year and it's like, oh my goodness. So I appreciate that advice to parents, because it is such a complex issue. And I always sympathize with my parents who don't have a special ed background, because it's such a difficult process to navigate without that background knowledge of how everything works. So I think that's good advice for families.
Yeah, this can be so hard too, because even if your child does qualify for special ed, and even if they do, you know, provide structured literacy or Orton-Gillingham based reading intervention at school, is it enough? Right. And, you know, depending on the severity of the dyslexia and the severity of struggles with memory and processing, sometimes it's not enough. And so if that is the case, I always advocate for parents to find private instruction. It really and truly, it can be life changing completely. It's what I had to do for my own kids, because they weren't getting the instruction they needed in school. And so it's kind of how I fell into the whole field in the first place. But if you worry about not being able to pay for services, not being able to afford private instruction, because it can be expensive if you're working with someone who is really specialized in what they're doing, there are avenues to get services paid for through the states. And specifically, I'm referring to, I live in Wisconsin, and so I'm sure there are other avenues in other states too. And it just takes a phone call. It doesn't hurt to ask questions and start doing some research and figuring out how you can make things work.
That's a good point, because that's something I've had to advocate for with families that I've worked with too, is, you know, you need that outside of school support because they need a little bit more, and it can be covered in a lot of circumstances. So I think that's a great point to, you know, consider, because it is so expensive. For the hour by hour, for somebody who's really specialized, it is so pricey, but it's good to know that there are avenues so people can get what they need for their child. I wanted to know, what do you envision for the future growth and expansion of Silver Moon Spelling and your company Read Learning Services as well. Is there any new initiatives or goals that you kind of foresee on the horizon?
That's a fun question. My happiest self is when I'm creating something new and building something new. And I think a lot of people feel the same way probably. I'm currently working on building out a set of decodable stories. And so we're taking the Silver Moon spelling lessons, and the goal is to expand them to cover more reading concepts. We're getting teachers saying, hey, I love the program, love the spelling rules, love using this with my kids. It would be really fun to attach it to authentic stories that cover the concepts within the spelling pieces. Currently, there aren't any stories included with the program because it is a spelling system. And so we're working on building out those stories. And actually, we just finished story one. So we have story one, which would pair with lesson one, set one. It is completely decodable. And then we also have a vocabulary component and a comprehension component, as well as a sight word. I know that reading researchers don't like that term because any word you learn to read automatically is a sight word. But for all you teachers out there, you know what I'm referring to. So we're really building it out to be more comprehensive. And we do have openings in our reading center in our online end of things. We do hope to grow that end of our reading center as well and service more families outside of the state of Wisconsin. We've got a few out-of-staters right now, but not a whole lot. So those are some of our plans moving forward.
Awesome. And that's really exciting. I'm excited about the text. That was always something I struggled with. I had a hard time finding age-appropriate texts that fit the spelling or decoding rules that my students were focusing on for the week. So that's great that that's something that you're working on building out. And I'm always excited about new projects and expansions. So that's really exciting.
It is fun. It's fun to do.
So just to kind of sum it up, as someone who's heavily involved with the field of reading and education, what message would you like to relay to parents, teachers, learners about the importance of literacy intervention and support?
Oh, gosh, that's a huge question.
Rod, very big question. I'm sorry.
Yes, don't wait. If you have the sense that there's just something not developing correctly, start doing some research, start asking your questions, and don't just take the response, they'll catch up. Because if I could put a quote on the wall at my reading center, the most commonly heard quote when I have new families coming in is, everyone said they thought they'd catch up eventually. And that just is not the case when you're working with a learning disability, unless you get some real specialized instruction and appropriate instruction. So I would say, don't wait too long to start looking into whether or not dyslexia might be the reason your child is struggling. Because if dyslexia, then we know what to use with the students. And you got to make sure what they're using at school is in line with what your child's needs are. The second message I want to convey is just the message of hope, right? Because a lot of families do come in and we get a lot of tears, and I've got a tissue box right on my desk when I'm meeting with families, because the moms, the dads, it's an emotional thing. You know, when you're trying to help your child, and it takes an emotional toll on the child and the parents, because this gets me all like teary, but they don't know why. And the child's smart. You can tell they're smart, but yet when you look at their skills on paper, it's just not adding up. And that can all change. When you start to learn why, there's reasons to why you're performing the way you are. And there's reasons and ways that your brain is going to learn better than it's previously been taught. It really offers a lot of validation, you know, for the child and for the parents. And it almost kind of normalizes things. You know, there's a couple different routes our brains can use to read. If you're the route A and not the route B, or vice versa, depending on how they're teaching reading in school, reading might come to you and it might not. Had that instruction been flipped, had school been delivering a method that works for how your brain learns to read, maybe I wouldn't be sitting here meeting with you today. You know, so I always share that with students too. Just because, you know, you haven't learned to read up to grade level, it's nothing to do with how smart you are. You know, there's no correlation to intelligence.
I think that's a great message to end on. I really appreciate that coming from, you know, the education perspective. That was always something I tried to relate to my students to, especially by the time they got to middle school, they were seeing very clear differences from their peers and they were frustrated and upset. And to have them feel like it's nothing you did, it's just, you know, the school didn't provide you with what you needed to be successful. Now you're getting it. And then they start to feel more accomplished and successful and they're starting to make gains. So I appreciate that hopeful note to end on. And I appreciate the advice as well to the parents about getting the support, the evaluation early, because that was something I also saw. You know, they came in sixth grade and it's like, now we're just starting to give them the support they need. And that's so late in the game because they kept getting pushed along by school districts, not by any fault of the parent, but because of, you know, the school thinking they would catch up and they didn't. So I appreciate both aspects of that advice for families, for learners overall. And I just want to thank you so much, Kelly, for being here with us today. Like I said, I'm going to make sure everything's linked in the show notes. Everybody listening, jump right into the show notes and the description of the episode to get the links directly to Reed Learning Services and all of the socials for it as well. And just thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us today.
Oh, Katie, thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure to be here. Hopefully the messages within our conversation really helps some teachers or families out there that are listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. I hope the information in this episode taught you something new, gave you a new idea, or showcased a new perspective. If you liked the episode, feel free to leave us a review or comment. If you have a recommendation for an individual or an organization who would make a great guest, you can message us or send us an email at assemblinginclusion@gmail.com. See you next time.